Hey, welcome to PyData Seattle still. Hope you've been enjoying the live stream so far. My name's Steve Dower. I'm here with James Powell, who is our quizmaster for tonight. PyData is not just a conference that's about the sessions. It's not just all tutorials and talks. We also get to have some fun. And so one of the fun things we do tonight is a social event. We'll have all the attendees come, have some food, have something to drink, network, and play a few games together. But the other thing we're doing tonight is the PyData pub quiz. James, how did the quiz come about and what can we expect?
So the PyData pub quiz was something that we added to PyData very deliberately. One of the things that we want to do with PyData is make it an event that's a lot more participatory for the audience. We want it to be more than just a bunch of people come into a room, they see a talk, and they go home. We want to give as many opportunities for the attendees at PyData to do something to add to the event, whether it be a lightning talk, a poster session, participation in the pub quiz, participation in a panel, something where this event is a truly community event because it's put on, it's organized by the community, but it also features input from everybody who's there in attendance.
So you've done a couple of pub quizzes before at other PyData events. Mm-hmm. How would you say those have gone?
I was surprised by how positive the feedback is for the pub quiz. We designed the pub quiz questions to be particularly very challenging for the attendees, to be an opportunity for them to really test their mettle, see how much they really know about Python or about the various PyData packages, and also in some cases to kind of show them that, you know, maybe there's a little bit more to learn as well. We found that people who come to the pub quiz who are newbies to Python or to the PyData stack, they find themselves a little bit intimidated sometimes by how much more they have to learn, but also very encouraged by the atmosphere of the collegiate atmosphere behind the pub quiz, because you're supposed to kind of work together with people and you're supposed to learn or talk through the problems as you solve them. For those who attend the pub quiz and are a little bit more experienced or a little bit more on the experienced side, they revel in a challenge. They really like being challenged in terms of, you know, you spent the last 5 years working in this, let's see what you really know.
Yeah, and the pub quiz is based on, I think it's an English tradition originally of you go to the pub for a night and there'll be a trivia quiz. Mm-hmm. And everyone ends up around their tables and, you know, joins in, gets to answer questions. Some of them are silly, some of them are fun. So that's the kind of thing that we're trying to recreate here. Now, it is really unfair for us to be talking about this to the live stream because obviously you guys don't get to participate. We're not streaming the pub quiz. It is an event that's for people who attend a conference. But since it has been successful, we expect, you know, future PyData events, especially one where James is involved, are going to have the quiz again. So if you do have the opportunity to come to a future event, we strongly recommend it. You'll get to join in with things like the pub quiz, the lightning talks tomorrow also won't be on the stream, sorry. But if you come to an event, then you'll get to see those. You'll get to enjoy those. But what we are going to do right now, just to keep making you more jealous, is work through a couple of questions. So James has come along with some of the more difficult questions and hopefully a simpler question or one of the more fun ones to try and challenge me and see how I do, whether I would succeed at the pub quiz. And we'll give you a chance to come up with your answer as well and we can see how we all do. So
one of the questions on the pub quiz, or some of the questions of the pub quiz, are community oriented. They are, for example, name somebody who works on a package that you use frequently. Name somebody who works on NumPy. And the reason that we add this question to the pub quiz is we find that a lot of attendees use these packages day in, day out, and it gives them an opportunity to pause and think, how on earth did NumPy actually come to be? Who works on it? It gives them an opportunity to just kind of pause and reflect on all of the volunteer effort that went together, that came together to make these packages possible. Some of the pub quiz questions are kind of fun. We like to include some Monty Python questions, or in cases where the PyData events are being held in international cities like London or Amsterdam, we include a couple of quiz questions about the city itself. And some of those are just there as part of an attempt to make these quizzes a social experience. Part of the reason why we want PyData to be a participatory event is that we want it to really be an event where people come together, they meet each other, they talk to each other, they share information, and they share knowledge. So anything we can do to kind of grease the wheels there is helpful. Some of the questions, like the one we're about to share with you, are very technical in nature. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put a very technical question on the screen. This is, I would say, the quintessential PyData pub quiz question because it balances something that's actually useful, something that's a little bit silly, something that's really hard. And one thing that I would ask for those of you in the live stream audience, after you look at this question and you hear the answers, forget it immediately because we reuse this question pretty much every time.
Oh, this is coming up tonight?
This is coming up tonight.
Excellent. I'll write down the answer for myself. So let's look through. We actually have four questions here. The first one, and these are all given that some condition is true. what is the result of another condition going to be? So this first one, assert with the ID of X is equal to the ID of Y. If you're not familiar with the ID function in Python, that's going to give you some number that represents the object. And it's not well defined in the general case what that number is going to be. But I suspect, knowing James, that this question is going to rely on some specific likelihoods of what the number is going to be.
Yes.
But given that those two numbers representing those objects are equal, is X is Y also going to be true? So in the normal case, in fact, you know, I'm going to skip that one and look at the next one, because I think that is going to be the slightly easier one, where if X is equal to Y, does that mean that X is Y? So I know that in Python, the equals equals operator can be overloaded, and the is operator can't be. It's going to do a comparison against the object itself and say, is this exactly the same object? So that could be, if that is the case, then that should mean that equals equals is going to be the same because it's exactly the same object. But this question is saying, given that the two objects compare equal, then are they exactly the same object?
As you can see, by the way, in my mind, the quintessential pub quiz question is one that is stated very simply, where you look at it and you think and you think and you think, time runs out and you scribble down an answer, and then you find that there was one small missing thing that you didn't notice, even though there are only a couple of characters on the screen.
Yeah, and so, and hopefully, because people are working in small groups, then there'll be, you know, people chiming in, arguing, bit of discussion, getting to know and work with the people around it. I'm going to say for that question that X is equal to Y implies X is Y is not necessarily true, and you could have two objects that compare equal but are not actually the same object. And it looks like the one following is the opposite condition. Given that they're exactly the same object, do they equal each other? And it would seem that that's got to be the case, right? Is that?
So is this
where I've missed a little bit?
I'll answer the first three for you.
Okay.
So the reason why I like this question a lot and why I think it's the quintessential pub quiz question is because it starts off fairly straightforward. It starts off with knowledge that any Python programmer should be assumed to have internalized so far. The very first question is, if two objects have the same ID, their IDs are equal, are they the same object? One of the important things when I do corporate training or we talk to people about Python is that Python maintains this distinction between object equality and object identity. And so you can see that's the core of this question. There's one theme to it. In the first, it says, if the IDs are equal, are the objects identical? And we know that by definition, if the IDs are equal, then the objects are identical. So here, an answer might be absolutely always, if the IDs are equal, the objects are identical. As Steve correctly pointed out on the second question at the bottom left, if the objects are equal, does that imply that they're identical? And this is a common mistake that a lot of people make when they are newbies in Python. They might confuse is and double equals. Treve's absolutely correct that it is the case that if two objects are equal, they aren't necessarily identical. Think, for example, two lists with the same contents. They're equal, but they could be completely separate lists.
Because you might have constructed them differently.
Absolutely.
And so they'll be completely separate objects.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then for the top right, we asked the question, if two objects are identical, does that mean that they're equal? Now, Steve correctly identifies that in almost every case, if two objects are identical, then they might be equal. The reason that I like this question as a pub quiz question is that in my mind, a pub quiz question is just hard enough to challenge you. If the question is too easy, you won't learn anything. And so honestly, when I've taken pub quizzes in the past, I've found that the average score for a good pub quiz is no greater than 50%. You're challenged every step of the way, and you're forced to really dig into your knowledge as deeply as possible.
So before we get on to the fourth question, how would you score answers to a question like this? There are four pieces to this. How do you assign points?
So one of the absolutely important parts of the pub quiz, and we include some questions up front to make this very clear to the audience, is that the points really don't matter that much. It's more about having fun. And so you'll see with the very last question here that sometimes our assignment of points can sometimes be a little bit casual. We decide whatever points make the most sense or what entertains the audience the most.
Yep.
For this question, it's pretty obvious whether the answer is right or wrong, but we'll see with the very last one.
We'll look at the fourth one in a couple of minutes since we have some time. So while that's up on the screen, I hope it's still up on the screen, copy that down. Do whatever workings out you want while you're there. Open up a copy of Python, try some things out, see if you can figure out the answer to that. We're going to chat about lightning talks for a couple of minutes, and we'll come back and review the answer to that one just before we get back to the sessions. So Tomorrow, at the end of the day, we're going to be doing lightning talks, and I suspect mm-hmm. we're going to be emceeing that.
We'll do our
straight man comedy genius, or
something
maybe
like
it's
that.
The other way around.
One way or the other,
routine,
yeah.
Up on stage, but tell us about lightning talks and why they're such an important part of a Pi Data conference.
Some people come to us and tell us that lightning talks are their favorite part of Pi Data conferences. They come just for the lightning talks. And the reason for that is lightning talks are ad hoc, they're unscheduled. Anybody who wants to give a talk comes up and give a talk. They require quite a lot of frame of mind to give correctly because you only have 5 minutes to go through a lot of material. And I know that at different events, we've been a little bit more aggressive about the timing than in other events. I know I have been kicked off of stage halfway through my own lightning talk. And so
was that by me?
You might have done that.
I'm very aggressive about cutting people
off
at the 5 minute mark. That's the most fun part for me.
I like them because you can think that at a normal conference, you might be able to get 30 or 40 or 50 speakers. You can get 10 speakers in the span of 1 hour at a lightning talk session. And so we love lightning talks. We would do even more lightning talks. Sometimes Pi Data events have had 2 days of lightning talks just based off of a reading of the audience. Sometimes they only have one instance of lightning talks just based off of a read of how many people in the audience want to participate. One thing that I have found is that during the conference, it is a fantastic opportunity to get people in the frame of mind of participating to say, whenever they talk about something they're interested in, why don't you give a lightning talk? In fact, just today somebody came up to me and they were talking about an idea they had. They had an idea for anomaly detection. And I said, you know, you should give a lightning talk about this.
And if you happen to be sitting in Cascade right now, we know there's a room full of people here at the conference who are watching the live stream. The registration sheets are open. They're at the registration desk. So if you want to sign up for a lightning talk, you're more than welcome to go and do that now. We'll be selecting the ones that sound most interesting and most exciting. We'll probably be able to get about 8 to 10 into the hour that we have set aside tomorrow. So if you are in Cascade and you want to sign up for that, please go ahead and do that. We may also have some prizes to hand out during that. Again, if you're not here at the event, sorry you've missed out, but this is a really good reason for you to try and make it to a PyData event. They do happen all around the world, so wherever you happen to be watching from, there's likely one near you. If not, then start tweeting at PyData and ask for one. Say, I want to have a PyData in my area, how can we set one up? And we can help you get started on that.
Steve, you've seen the stats. Do you think if there's anybody on the live stream who's watching from New York?
Watching from New York? I don't know if I have any specifics for that. I would hope so. Hi, New York. I hope you're there. There were certainly people scattered all around the world when I had a look earlier. So I think we've got probably certainly people from Europe on. I hope I've got some fellow Australians watching the stream. Good to see you, mate.
Do you know why I happened to bring up New York just now?
Why did you bring up New York?
Just some very recent news. We've just announced that we'll be holding a Pi Data event in New York at the end of this year from November 27th to 30th. Do you know who will be sponsoring?
Who's sponsoring?
Microsoft.
Microsoft is another one.
Another one.
Another Pi Data conference. One. There we go. So if you're in New York, you have no excuse. There's going to be another Pi Data near you, sponsored by Microsoft, hosted at the offices there, I believe, right? Which you can go along to and participate in all of the things you've missed out on this time. Speaking of missing out, let's get back to this question, because we have one more thing. Given that assert X is Y, then does that mean that the ID of X is the ID of Y? And I would have to say that given the first question, where it really is an if or only if the IDs are equal, then the objects are identical. That condition has to go both ways, right? Identical identifiers means identical objects. And all we've done is switch it around here. So if the objects are identical, then the IDs must also be identical. Is that correct?
So I told you at the beginning that I thought that this is the quintessential Pi Data pub quiz question. I feel that way because it covers some knowledge that's very important for any Python programmer. It stretches that knowledge a little bit to make you really think about Python programming language. These are questions which you'd actually find to be very relevant in your work. Knowing whether two objects are equal versus identical is actually a very important thing, especially when you're dealing with mutable objects. However, it's also a good pub quiz question because it introduces small catches like this last question, things which are very hard and which might have fun answers. I'll tell you the answer to the last question.
Okay.
If two objects are identical, then it is true that their IDs are equal. However, there's a caveat to this. If this question is being asked in CPython, then the two IDs will represent the memory addresses of the two objects. We know from being CPython core developers, or from you being a CPython core developer and me being an amateur CPython core developer, that the memory addresses for an object in Python are very large numbers. They're going to be whatever a pointer size, or they're going to be wherever the pointers start in that language. So for example, on Linux, it'll start at least at 7000000 on a 64-bit Linux machine. In that case, we also know that Python's internal mechanisms for interning numbers will not apply. And so these two numbers will be distinct numbers, and so the is check will fail. And so it turns out that if two objects are, in fact, identical, their IDs will not be identical, but their IDs will be equal. Now, you might ask, where on earth is this useful? And that's why this makes it a great pub quiz question. It's not ever useful. The scoring for this question is actually very interesting, because when I first asked this question, and I presented it to a couple of people, one of the IronPython developers, Eric Snow, had an answer. He said, in CPython, it's always false that if the two objects are identical, the IDs are identical. But in IronPython, the answer is different. Because in IronPython, the whole mechanism of how IDs work is slightly different. They count monotonically from one up to some number. I told Eric, if you're in the pub quiz and you answer that way, I'd give you one bonus point for being able to tell me how it works in IronPython, and I take off two bonus points for actually using IronPython. And so you can see, in some cases, the scoring is just meant to excite the audience, meant to have a little bit of fun. Of course, we have no hard feelings about our IronPython.
No, we love you just as much. And Jython PyPy, we love all Python variants. CPython happens to be the big one, but we're really keen to be getting the entire Py data stack working across the area. And we certainly love being able to involve everyone in the PyData quizzes, in the Lightning Talks, in the more social event. James, thank you very much. We're running short on time right now, and we're about to go back to the next session. So thanks for sticking around with us. We've got a couple more talks to go, and then we'll be back on to wrap up.
Thank you so much, and join us at PyData in New York, November 27th to 30th.